Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
LifeLock. Oh, the IRS has a warning for you people. There's a scam out there. It's an email scam. This is a first world problem, people. People are trying to rip you off and take your identity. So if you get an email from the IRS and it's unsolicited, do not open it. It's malware, man. And believe you me, they don't send you, the IRS will not send you emails if you're in an ongoing thing with them. God willing, you're not having an ongoing relationship with the IRS, but if you are, that's a different situation. But they won't send you unsolicited emails. Cyber criminals can use that info to file a return in your name. And then once they file it in your name, then when you file your return, well, then guess who looks like the criminal? Anyway, LifeLock, with the added power of Norton Security, can help if this happens to you. LifeLock helps fix identity theft-related tax fraud. So let's get some LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton is powerful protection for your identity and devices for tax season and beyond. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam for 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com or 1-800-LIFELOCK for 10% off.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Jeff Cesario. With Bald Brian on sound effects, the sports with Chet Waterhouse, and Chris Loxamana fills in for Gina on news. And now, as a Los Angeles Fire Department reject, he won't be commenting on Notre Dame. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. A judgment again on Mandy. Get it on. Thanks for sharing. We love that about you. Thanks to our sponsors like LifeLock.com, Enter Adam, and Castrol Challenge. You can tweet us your questions. I got something to get into about that. First, thank you, Jeff Cesario, for coming in.
Always a pleasure.
And Bald Brian.
I'm not really a news person.
Not today, you're not.
Gina's involved with a family obligation, so
yeah,
we'll limp by without her. But I have a couple things. One is just on the fly. I'm always fascinated in this, and I think everyone is, regardless of whether you're interested in automobiles or not. Jeff picked up a bunch of like Car and Driver, Road and Track, like from 1964, 1965, and he just found them at a garage sale, I guess.
Right.
And
estate sale, yeah.
Kind enough.
An estate sale.
Kind enough to think of me, and he purchased these, and he
That's
brought
a privileged garage sale.
Three or four volumes of them over, and I immediately... My favorite thing to do with those old magazines, beside look at this stereo equipment ads and the guy smoking and he's wearing dingo boots. He has a hot chick.
Good for
he's
your
got a
digestion.
New stereo. Yeah. Besides all the great ads, you go to the back and you see the classified. And I love to look at the cars, the Ferraris that they're asking $4,500 for that I happen to know are worth $1.75 right now.
Yeah.
And I don't know why,
but
it makes it that much better or worse. I don't know why, but when they go, I'll take $4,500 or trade a new 68 Cadillac, which is sadder because that 68 Cadillac now is worth $7,000, and the car you traded, just heads up, just pinks. You just went straight across. That thing's 1.75 now.
Yeah.
And it's also weird. The first car I stumbled into was a Porsche 904, I think, or whatever it was. And I was just looking at the sticker price. And the sticker price was like $7,200. And it's like, well, that's a lot of money in 1965. But a Mustang, a Shelby Mustang, was $4,000, or Corvette was $4,000. And that Corvette now is worth $150,000, but the car that was twice as much is worth $1.5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like they both went up.
Yeah.
One is $1.5, and you're double the price back then. Should have spent
now
that
10
money.
Times, yeah.
Yeah. Or plus.
Spend money at the time. That's the lesson.
Right. So I did this thing at the last second, which is I just grabbed all the magazines and I handed them to Gary. And I just went, just go look through the classified, find a Ferrari, find anything with a price on it, check what they're asking for. and then check what today's value is. You can just go online, find the Gooding auction, RM auction, hit results, put the car in, and we'll see what the last one sold
for. We can call this 80-year-old women turning to their husbands and going, you idiot!
Also, Jeff Cesario, I thought it'd be perfect for today because I had this weird pilgrimage where I went back to the Comedy Store and did stand-up comedy for the first time in 30 years. Like, I literally did my first open mic there. Nothing really after that. Maybe like one shot in the belly room or something. And then it became all improvisational, group improv, sketch, Acme, Groundlings, radio, MTV. And it just completely blew by.
Right. Off the stage, fag!
They didn't all yell that. And as I was heading to the Comedy Store on Sunday night, I was thinking, God, I haven't been on stage here in 30 years, and I traveled such a great distance in that time. But I was looking back on my first experience doing an open mic, and it's a story I haven't shared in a while, and it's going to sound a little dated because of the technology. But if you want something that you really couldn't write, my first experience was I was obviously nervous as hell. You know, my plan was I was 23. I was a complete loser. I was working construction. I decided just to kind of get up there and
contrast that with now.
Yeah. Just power through it. I just wanted to get through it. And
you just want to survive.
I wanted to survive. I was a bundle of nerves. I was doing my impersonation of a comedian. You know, I had no voice. And I went up there, and it was a pretty crowded room, and I did okay, just okay, and hard to tell because of the adrenaline. It's sort of like after you get in a horrible car accident, and someone goes, are you okay? And you go, I'm okay.
So.
And they go, there's a bone coming out of your thigh. And you go, oh, I'm not okay. Like, I'm impaled in rebar. Like, oh, but you're like in shock, and the adrenaline's kicking in. And you really don't know exactly how you did because your brain can't take a photograph of it. And so my friends, I had a handful of friends, and they were being nice, you know, like, oh, hey, good job. Like, I had some really good stuff up there and weird stuff. I don't know why, but when they explain where you did your good stuff, it's never a good thing. Hey, that's good stuff up there.
That was good, yeah.
Yeah, what you did up there? I have to somehow put you somewhere.
Yeah, that area with the lights and the microphone.
Yeah.
You did okay.
I like what you did in that that neck of the woods. So I was like, okay. I started kind of buying into it. And I had one friend, and her name was Janie. And she was rich because her dad owned 55 McDonald's.
Jesus.
And that was a big deal now, but it was a really big deal in 1986.
Like the West Coast.
Yeah. And she was rich, and she's like, we're going to go out, we're going to celebrate with a Happy Meal, you know. And Janie got her gun.
Right.
And I said, okay. And we like drove back to our house in Encino, and she's like, I can't remember, but she's like, we're going out for drinks and they're on me, you know, and what a night you
Shamrock
had.
Shamrock shakes all
That's
around.
That's right. And so, you know, we walked in past Mayor McCheese and Grimace and everybody else. And
high five the Hamburglar.
That's right. And we went in there and she's like, okay, let's just, I don't know, turn it around and head out to the bar or whatever. And she checked her answering machine back when it was the old, you know, record-a-phone, whatever, had a cassette in there, whatever. And so she's like, all right, let me just check my machine. And we're just standing there, you know, and she hit the thing. And it was, you know, her outgoing message, like, hey, this is Janie. I'm not home right now. Leave a message. And then the friend was recorded on the other line. Like, it was like, hey, this is Cheryl. And, sorry I didn't get to the show tonight with you guys, but maybe I'll hook. And then in the middle of that, you hear the phone picked up, and it's Janie's sister. And she's like, oh hello?
Yeah, sometimes it'll record the those old machines will record the conversation.
Oh, it records that. Oh, and she's like, hello? And she's like, oh, hello? Oh, you're home? Yeah. Oh, you didn't go to the show? No, we went to the show. We just came back. We just got back. And she's like, oh, how was the show? And Janie, like, put her hand on the thing.
Never
like,
good sign.
She's like, I'm just going to hit pause.
She smashed it.
And I'm like, wait a minute, Janie. Why are you putting your, like literally, like, throw it into the aquarium, you know?
Yeah.
And
oh, my God.
And I'm like, oh, this is going to be a conversation. This one person had been to the show tonight. The other person hadn't. The other person wanted to know how it went.
Oh, boy.
And this will be the
You're
most
the unvarnished.
And there is Janie no less dove on a grenade for you.
There's no less varnish than this because and this is one of those, like, you can't play the card. Well, haters going to hate. That's right. Like, she's just asking her how it was.
Right.
And so she's going to it's literally like someone out of the country going, how is the weather? And they go, well, it's a little overcast. You go, bullshit!
Liar.
Don't believe that.
Why do you hate the sky?
Yeah, it's like, nah, I think she's pretty much just telling her what it's like outside. So,
anyway, rave review.
Janie was like, you know, she hit the
pause.
Well, it was funny. Like, I heard her sister, like, pick up the phone, like, oh no, I'm home. And then Janie kind of looked like a momentary panic. And then her friend went like, oh, I thought you were at the show. And she's like, I just came back. And Janie's like, look, a little more panic. And she goes, how was it? And then that's when she just hit the pause.
Have you told this story before?
Maybe once a million years ago.
And giant push this is button great transmission
this
things.
Is a great situational comedy.
And I was just standing there. And I was like,
did she pause
Janie,
it?
And I was just like, Janie, you just got to play it. Like, you have to play it. Like, I have to know what her thoughts were about this.
But play what?
Play what? Yeah. They went to a different club.
So
no, it's Adam Carolla, my unfunny friend.
Now, obviously, she was there. Janie was there. So Janie probably knew that a lot of her fluffing in the car about what a great night it was and it was awesome and blah, blah, blah.
May not jive with the answering machine's version.
She had a feeling that the truth was waiting on the magnetic cassette for me. And so I was like, you know, unfortunately, I need to now hear it because, like, we're here.
Right.
Now we're here.
Oh, boy.
And she was like, oh. Okay, like, and again, she didn't overhear it or anything. She just assumed the worst, and she was right. And you know, I don't remember all the verbiage. I do remember
he's the lead guest.
I do remember the way it felt. Like, there was like, how was the show tonight? How was Adam's comedy show? And there's a
sucking in the spit.
By the way, this is a nice person trying to be nice, you know? And, and I just remember like, oh, God damn it. This is going to be a long life.
Yeah, but you're cutting yourself no slack. I mean, I remember my first night at the Comedy Store, and I remember getting one laugh where I thought I would get a laugh and one laugh where I didn't think I would get a laugh, and then just burning racing fuel out the exhaust pipe, just trying to get to the end of it. And that's all I cared about, was getting to the end of it. I almost didn't care about getting laughs. I just thought, can I memorize this much material that I think? Do I have the balls to think anything I have to say is interesting to anybody else? And the answer was yes, in my own head. I almost didn't care how I did. And then the great Robert Aguayo, who ran the open mics back in, you know, the 1930s, literally said, you know, you've got some potential. You should come back every Monday and come to the workshops. And I think you got something here. And I was like, I was visiting from out of town. So I was like, oh, thanks. I can't do it. I got to go back. I got a flight. But thank you so much. I think I'll keep trying to do this. That's like all I remember. If somebody would have said to me, how did the set go? I would have said, I have no idea. And B, I really don't. I can't care at this point because I'm not supposed to be hilariously funny.
Well, speaking of you being hilarious, Max Zapata went and saw you over the weekend. Where'd you go? What was the venue, Max Zapata?
The Segerstrom Center for the Arts in Costa Mesa.
And set the table for us.
So Jeff was opening for Brian Regan. Jeff goes up there. I have a video of the crowd. You just got to see. I just turned around. I was in like the seventh row.
It must be 5,000. I mean, that place is huge, right? Yeah.
Brian like sells tickets, man.
Yeah, well, you and Brian. Mostly Brian. So,
yes, absolutely. Mostly Brian.
Jeff and who?
So Chris, he's like, God damn, Jeff was great. Jeff was a great set. And I said, yeah, I know. He's a great stand-up. And he's like, I think it was a little more surprised when you work with someone and you see them and you know them, and then you don't always go out and see them in their environment, in their element. But it's like, Jeff was awesome. And then he kind of went, I'd rather, you know, another 40 minutes of Jeff up there and a little less Brian Regan. Although he likes Brian Regan, obviously. But he was like, man, go ahead, Max Pata. Heap some praise.
Well, because I brought my girlfriend's family. They're huge Brian Regan fans. They can recite his album. So I brought them, and they didn't know Jeff. But I was talking Jeff up because he comes on the show. He's super funny on the show. But I didn't know Jeff's stand-up either. I've never seen him do stand-up. So Jeff was the first guy to come on and just destroys the places, crack it up. And I actually got more brownie points for showing them Jeff that night.
Wow. You well, that's all we cared about. Brian and I talked backstage and said, you know, we got to get Chris in with his in-laws. Right. It's the whole point of this set now. We need motivation.
Yeah, make or break for the relationship right here.
Yeah, it's like fighter pilots who play games on the way to a mission. You know, that's wonderful to hear. And Brian was magnificent that night and as always, was very gracious in allowing me to open for him.
Well,
it's great fun. I haven't done a tremendous amount of stand-up in the last, quite frankly, in the last 25 years because I've been working so much behind a camera writing and producing and stuff. But when I get out, I like to try new material and have a good time. And, you know, when you saw that theater.
It was huge.
You go out there, you know, that's not a club. You know, that's not the ha-ha room on a Wednesday night. That's a room where if you have any muscle memory of what it's like to do good stand-up, you should be able to make it through 10 minutes and function pretty well. So that was our third date, I think, on a little tour. So by then I had some of the rust shaken off and I felt pretty good.
Gary was there as well. He can... Yeah. He abides by this. Aren't you looking up car values on the internet?
Well, that's why I'm standing here. Is I have your list, but unfortunately, in all those magazines, there's only two cars that fit the parameters you gave me. So I didn't expand it.
Let's
Most
see.
Of those magazines don't have that. It's kind of that one magazine that's got that.
Oh, it's weird. I guess the classifieds didn't really kick in until the later 60s, early 70s.
Every car was new back then.
Yeah, when you go and look at models from, you know, Car and Driver from 1970, it has a big classified section.
I think I just cock-blocked myself. I brought in the magazines, and now they're interrupting people blowing smoke up my ass.
Yeah, you're right.
I feel bad about that.
Roll one of those magazines up and blow.
I stand by everything that was said. Jeff just absolutely killed, and it's very impressive to watch someone come out to that size crowd cold and be able to take you on a journey in 10 minutes that ended with just a great closer, and it was just excellent.
All right, now.
Thank you.
I'll give you a couple other makes to look up.
Okay.
I'll give you Lamborghini. There's nothing before 64, 65. Scratch Lamborghini. Bizzarini. Bizzarini.
I don't believe that one's in there.
I don't even think that's a car. Is that a real car?
Oh, yeah.
That's a magician.
Are you just making up Italian words?
That's the guy who stole Pinocchio.
The great Bizzarini. Sure. I worked with him at the room, actually.
All right. I'll put in a Maserati and we'll see what happens.
See what happens with the old Maz.
Bizzarini. Oh, yeah. That was a car.
Get one of those little mini cars, those little British. What are they? Miners? Is that what they were called?
Mini. Mini
the
Cooper.
Mini. Yeah. Cooper.
Mm-hmm. All right, so
Jeff, you said mini car. You should know what it's called.
Yeah, had the word right in there.
right there, buddy.
Oh, there's a 5300 Strada.
Well, now isn't
GT?
There a...
That's a Bizzarini. We're just looking at a picture of one. All right, so it also turns out
they liked them slung low, the Italians.
We were laughing about Isaac Hayes and how songs Isaac Hayes wouldn't sing. And as it turns out, Jeff is very well versed in Isaac Hayes because he's a musician as well. Mike Lynch sent me a list of a couple of songs. And let's play a little Shaft to wet our whistle. There's many things I'm in love with about the soundtrack to Shaft and the theme song to Shaft. But one of the...
This is one of Jeff's favorites, as requested by Jeff before the show.
Is this off of the soundtrack?
This is Cafe Reggio off the soundtrack, which was just like mood music in the one interlude where he was trying to get laid. Or I should say getting laid.
Yes, I say. Did we ever try him?
I love the West Montgomery double octave thing.
Perfect.
So great.
This is the coolest dentist office ever.
It is. Absolutely. Hey, I got a black dentist. But to spend this much time cutting good background music in a restaurant getting laid scene
is
pretty impressive.
Is Isaac arranging this?
Yes, writing and arranging. I'm sure he's got a horn arranger and everything. I mean, you know, five guys coming at that point. But yeah, he's still heavily involved in this.
Yeah.
Exactly. Thank you, Isaac.
Yeah.
So the Shaft theme song, which is one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
And there's the part about it I love the most is when he goes, that Shaft's a bad mother. And they go,
what you talking
about? What you mouth or what you talking about? Yeah. And he doesn't answer it in a sing-songy, melodic way. He goes, just talking about Jeff. Like, as if he was confronted in the studio.
Yeah.
Like, and taken aback. You know, he's like caught off guard, you know? Like, he answers it not in a, just talking about Jeff. He's like, just talking about Jeff.
Yeah.
It's like, he's singing acting the whole song.
I see this cat, Jeff, is a bad motherfucker.
And I get back to the song. I'm recording a song here. Like, it's best. Really like a couple the of best. Black chicks interrupted him in the studio.
Yeah.
Give me 10 seconds more head on that. Let me just hear it one more. He's like, he's very conversational.
Yeah.
Who's the cat that won't come out when there's things you're all about? Right on.
Right on.
You see, this cat Chef is a bad mother. What I'm talking about, Chef.
He drops the pageantry of it all and just goes, talking about Chef. And then he goes back, who's the mother?
Yeah.
I love that part. I don't know why.
It's so great. It's like his wife walked in.
Right. What's going on here? I'm talking about Chef. Yeah. What's about this recording booth?
So there's Isaac, and then the songs that Isaac would never record, and Mike Lynch sent me an email, and he had one. He had a few that I may have thought of, but one I would never, which is Frankie Valli, 1974. My eyes adored you.
What?
Yeah, but he never laid a hand on her. And no. Chef, who had a strong pimp hand.
Yeah.
He didn't earn that reputation by not putting his hands on people.
My eyes adored you. Oh, I never laid a hand on you. My eyes adored you.
What?
He's like shocked. Doesn't make sense to him. You couldn't see how
I adored you. I'm just talking about your daughter.
So close. So close and yet so far.
No.
From school.
This is the part where Isaac would go, Yeah, no.
You were fifth grade, I was six when we came to be.
It's good.
Walking home every day over Barnacot Bridge and Bay.
Sometimes.
Into me and you who went our separate way.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah,
it's also
right.
Funny to think of him as the record, as the hard ass R&B record company exec, just listening to this.
Yeah, like him having a green like this, or program director at the R&B station.
There's three people whose business he doesn't want to lose, but he's trying to be diplomatic.
Yeah, it's like that scene. Go to I'd like to get to anybody. It's Spanky in our gang, right?
Sure. Who doesn't know their one hit?
Yeah, remember that scene in Airplane where like the nun was singing Respect on the acoustic guitar and the black guys just start vomiting in your bag? Like, suck it to me. And like, I'm pitching this to Isaac behind it. He's wearing his chainmail vest.
All right.
And he's like, oh!
Yeah.
Hang on, I'm going to fly out this window.
No.
But I'd like to get to know you.
No.
But I'd like to get to know you.
No.
But I'd like to get to know you.
now.
Oh, yeah. Who are those guys?
No.
I should just, you can bring it down. Brian, no. I'm just going to put together like an album called Puss Rock.
Yeah.
And it's all these dudes like talking about, it's such a, it's funny because everyone's into the Me Too and all that. No, it's interesting because like the whole Me Too and the whole Earth sort of movement, the global environment and all that ain't new. That's from the late 60s where there was all this, you know what they called it back then? Ecology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
They said ecology was either what global warming turned into climate change, but in the beginning, it was called ecology. Okay. And they had this weird sign, almost like they had a sign, the male sign and the female sign, Austin Powers kind of thing. There was like an ecology poster that had like a weird sort of peace, you know, global peace sign or whatever it was. And it was like a little, I don't know. Can you find the ecology sign, Maxipata? But it was like a little yin and yang meets male, whatever sign. But in the 70s, early 60s, sorry, late 60s, early 70s, it was the same thing. The whole Me Too vibe thing. It's like, I just want to get to know you, girl. Like, I
hold your hand.
I wanna, or not. Like, whatever. I want to baby be friends with you.
Yeah,
like,
let's save the forest. But let's go listen to Jimi Hendrix.
And I'm not going to do anything to you. I'm not going to try. Now, the guys were just as horny as they were and just as full of shit. But this
that's
is,
the game they had to play.
That's the game they had to play. And so there's like ecology, and I just want to get to know you, baby. The brothers didn't really change their tune that much. They were like, I'd like to get laid.
Right.
And I'll tell you all about it if you want
to
listen.
I'd like to get you laid.
Yeah. Ecology. What is that? Oh, yeah. It was that weird green peace signy kind of. It was just the earth with a line going through it. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if you looked up ecology, it must have been, I don't know who coined the phrase. It was hot for 7 years, between like 1966 and 1972, and just kind of went away. But ecology meant, or the definition of ecology, it was sort of, well, you recycle and you take care of the rivers and the streams and the Indians and the people. Yeah. And it was very what we're doing now. Yeah. But it's called ecology, and I have no idea why the word went the way the dodo. And Brian, you're not even familiar with
it. No, it sounds vaguely familiar. Yeah. I mean, ology being the study of like theology, whatever. But then like
eco,
like the world, environment, like ecosystems. Like,
don't try to make sense.
Yeah, I'm just saying
the environment.
All the guys you fucking hate now who are wearing the man buns and the hemp cargo shorts who you fucking hate now that are 33, they have douchebag parents that are in their 70s that were pitching the same shit. That's all I'm saying. What is the, by the way, so happy I didn't listen to any of those ass wipes back then, and I haven't changed much. Max Bata, what do you have the definition of ecology?
Yeah, so Brian's right. It's ecology. It's the study of like environment, and it's a branch of biology and like the things that surrounding
Somebody like coined it and it caught on.
It's like, funny that like you don't see
they're
like
making flags and stuff.
Like I don't see schools offering, I'm sure there are some, but don't offer, you know, a major in ecology. You know, like that's not like a hard science, or maybe it is and it not in fashion.
I don't know. Probably just environmental science is what it's called.
And there's kind of a thing where it's like we do. Well, whoever invents, the whole thing is you got to change the language all the time. So if you go, you know, the black community, African American, it's like you have to constantly explain what you can say and what you can't say. And the whole idea is you got to keep it evolving and keep it moving. Right. So that when you're arguing with the person, you don't argue over the subject. You argue over what you're calling something, and they're explaining you can't do that anymore. So this is part of ecology, I guess.
Yeah, so like, the term ecology has been around since 1866, but I think you're thinking when the flag started showing up everywhere. That was in the 70s.
Yeah.
And so everyone got into the ecology movement, and they started putting on T-shirts and flags and everything else. And then it was hot. It was like, you into ecology? I'm into ecology. Who isn't into ecology? Sure. And then it just, the word just sort of faded. Mm. And then we had a long, we had a bit between ecology sort of, blame Donna Summer. Like, people just want to do roller boogie and do coke and party out and go to Club 54, Studio 54. And, like, by the time we got to 77, 78, 79, we're like, God damn it, we want to get laid and do some blow.
Vietnam ended.
Right.
75.
Right. Time to party.
We got out.
The coincidence?
War was won, so to speak, on either side.
Right.
And that sort of took all the gas out of a lot of that.
Is it a coincidence that Donna Summer's biggest hit? Hot stuff, global warming.
That's right.
That's where it's getting hot.
Wow.
Coincidence?
I think not.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so then everyone went, fuck this environmental talk, and fuck Vietnam, and fuck Richard Nixon, and fuck Watergate, and fuck ecology.
Let's get some spandex on,
and let's party on. Let's party down.
This may be added to the Isaac Hayes list of songs he would not sing.
People who crap on disco are a little too aggressive. It's not great, but this is a fun song.
Agreed. And then it went away. The whole environmental thing went out with ecology in like the late 70s, and we got all into this. Yeah. And then we took about 20 years, and then it came back into the global warming and now climate change. But we were all up, I don't know, like Max Spada, you could probably find pictures of rallies from like 1974 that just had huge like ecology flags and people holding up that sign. Everywhere.
Then we got disinterested. It was like L.A. with NFL football. We just got disinterested for a couple of decades. And then literally, I think it was the Hummer that had people go, oh, God, that's too much.
Yeah.
And then maybe I'll look at this stuff again.
Yeah. Schwarzenegger driving his Hummer around, who then had it converted to electrical. And like, or you could get a Tercel and just call it a day, Governator. Like,
electrical Hummer.
You don't need a marine vehicle. Yeah, I know. Like, what does it do? Like, do you think that's zero sum? Like, I'm going to put 7,000 cell phone batteries in my Hummer and see if I can, by the way, propel it 10 feet and I have to recharge it every single night. You think that's just a freebie to the environment?
Yeah. Right. That doesn't cost anything. No.
All right. So Max Pata can look for that. I'll tell you about a little safety warning here. If you're driving and you feel frustrated and you're running late, do not get stuck on the railway crossing. If the signals are going and the train's not there yet, it's coming soon. So do not try to sneak across those tracks. Don't ever do that. Trains are going faster than you expect, and a train takes 1 mile to stop. So you don't want that. Even Arnold's battery-laden Hummer stops in less than a mile. It's not much, but it's a little less stopping distance than that. So let's use your car. Let's use it safely. Let's take care of the family. Let's not get stuck on the tracks. This is a little PSA for you. If the signal's on, the train's on its way. Just remember one thing. Stop, because the trains cannot. We value you, and we want you to be safe. So don't do that. All right. Max Pat, any ecology? There must have been, like, something with some McGovern or somebody must have said it at a rally or Jane Fonda or
spearheaded
something.
It.
I'm trying to think that there had to be somebody who was behind the renaissance of ecology. Like, who put it on a T-shirt? What politician? What, you know, did Tom Hayden wear it on a T-shirt on the stairs of the mall or something?
Yeah,
give a
probably.
Speech. Like, there had to be something there. Is there anything on the internet about where it how it came back and how that worked?
I'm looking into that.
I know it was big in Madison when I was in school there.
Oh, really?
Huge.
Oh.
And I caught the tail end of the great riots, the last anti-Nixon riot when he was reelected.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the gas went out of the movement, because some of the protests turned violent and people lost their lives. That really took a lot of the gas out, and then Vietnam ended.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I remember that distinctly. I can't put my finger on the politician, but there were a lot of Hollywood types, and you're in the right area, the Jane Fonda, Tom Hayden.
Yeah.
Tom Hayden area.
Well, we'll try to follow up on that.
And Isaac Hayes was also, may have reasserted.
Yeah.
Hey, Isaac, I got another song for you.
Yeah.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Four Dead in Ohio.
Oh, that'd be a tough one.
That's a downer.
I don't feel like Isaac would get behind
here's
that.
Here's my theory. Here's what I think he does. He takes funky songs and then slows them down to like a funeral dirge. Mm-hmm. And that's what he sings. And so it's still funky. It's just super slow. So if the song isn't funky to begin with, you're not getting anywhere with Isaac Hayes.
Mm.
That's why Frankie Valli's out. That's why this... This is the classic anti-war song of all time. I mean, you had to know this by heart for your entrance exam into the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Yeah. Isaac, what do you think?
No.
Gotta
get down to it. Soldiers are coming this way.
I just picture his face while this is being played.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. It's good, but...
It's good. No.
All right. Let's bring it home there, Brian. We're looking at...
That would be a tough one for Isaac to pull off. Imagine that slowed down.
We're looking at an Earth Day written on ecology.
Oh, yeah, Earth Day.
Signs.
I guess Earth Day used to be called Ecology Day. Like the first Earth Day was called Ecology Day.
Right.
I might be in that shot if you look long enough.
We're looking at a whole bunch of young men and women that are marching for Earth Day and talking about ecology circa 1968. And those people are now 40 years older and talking about the exact same thing. Or is it 50 years older? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah. 50 years older. And they got the exact same. They got the exact same song.
Same signs.
So all I'm saying is those people wasted 50 years of their life fretting.
Wow.
I'm going to get my roller skates on, my spandex, and meet one Donna Summer out. By the way, I just had this thought, but in their prime, and take your time, Max Zapata, I don't think that you could tell the difference between Donna Summer's hair and Rick James' hair when they were in their fullest effect.
Yeah.
If you want some real producing, get a couple pictures of them side by side, blur out the faces, and we'll try and pick
buy you some time.
Had there been any photoshopping back in the 70s, that would have been the first one.
We'll slow that one down and see if we can figure that one out. And in the world of photographs, I had to take a picture of my dog, Phil, who he has this thing where he likes to figure out where the action is, where the noise is, like what's going on and whatever. And then he just goes and lays down in the middle of it. That's kind of his his thing. And I got a couple of guys in my house digging a tree out. They're removing a tree and they're digging the roots out.
Oh, great.
And if you go a little tighter on it, Max Pata, but Phil is literally just sleeping 18 inches away from where these guys are digging a pit.
Wow.
And when you see a picture of it, it seems like a dog died where these guys were
working. They're burying a dog.
Yeah.
Like they're going to bury a dog. They're going to pull the tree stump up and they're going to bury the dog. You can see the picture at adamcarolla.com. But that's Phil walking over to where the people are working and then laying down and going to bed next to the shovels, next to the ends of their shovels.
Can I ask you a question? A related question that I think only you would know the answer to, and I don't know who else to ask this in my life. I have a good friend. He wants to do some renovation to his backyard. He has three medium to large-ish trees that he wants to get rid of. Medium large. I have three trees on our property that are either dead or dying or just they need to go out. Two of them are on the side, the strip on the sidewalk with the grass. You know what I'm saying?
The parkway.
Yeah, whatever that strip of grass is there on the sidewalk. One's on the property. How difficult would it be logistically with the city? You know, are they going to be like, go for it? Or is there a lot of paperwork?
They're not going to care.
Really?
Because you're now in charge of your own parkway. That's not.
Don't ask for permission.
Just do it.
Because they're gonna turn to you and say, "Yeah, we don't have a crew that can do that." Now, if you redo your sidewalks, you have to pay for that yourself.
How hard is it?
It's ridiculous
to transplant trees. Is that a realistic thing?
No,
not really.
Well, how I don't know how medium.
I'm not gonna do it myself.
Transplanting.
It's very costly.
Kind of tough, but. I will say this. You can go out there, you can go take that tree down, you can do everything else, and then enjoy it when the neighbor comes out, wants to know what's going on, or calls Department of Building and Safety or whatever it is. When the neighbor gets involved, that's my favorite part, is when the neighbors get involved. And it's like, I'm working on something on my property, and I know I didn't ask your permission, but you don't leave the house and you stare out the window and you wait for the Meals on Wheels van to come by and you see somebody's living their life and you were not asked if they could do that.
What's all this about?
Right. I've had that a million times.
You know, it's just like, I was an ecology major at Oregon. I'm not sure how you're digging out that root ball there.
Gotta find an ecology major.
It's not going to transfer that ecology.
All right. We will get ready to take a break. First, I'll tell you about, I have a quick Castrol challenge. Castrol Edge. You can tweet us your Castrol challenge question at Adam Carolla Show. With the hashtag Castrol Challenge, with your question for Castrol Challenge, brought to you by Castrol Edge. You got one, Max Pata?
Yep, this one is on Instagram, hashtag Castrol Challenge. What is your favorite muscle car?
Pizzarini!
Yeah, the Pizzarini, sure. With the
Now laugh.
The blown-out Pizzarini.
Now all laugh at Adam Carolla and his 1966 5300 Pizzarini. But guess what? Mm-hmm. Powered by a Chrysler 440 American Muscle V8. Italian coachwork with a Chrysler motor in it. Was it a 440 Maxapata that powered the 5300 Pizzarini?
Were these made on a large scale?
No.
I can't imagine they were.
Yes. Your clue is you would have seen one before today.
That's right. But you knew about it. There was a picture of it. So.
I know all about everything.
Oh, the old Pizzarini. I saw mine pulling up here. A AMC AMX. The Javelin AMX.
It's parked up across the street.
Yeah, the orange one. It's a great muscle car.
Bespoke. Was it like one-off?
If you want to know how many 5300 Pizzarinis they built, my guess, and Max Pata could wiki it, but I would say under 500.
And what do you got to need to know? Exact the number. What is it to you?
Yeah.
You lay off. You don't need to know.
Power plant,
it's
Max
details you don't need to know. You like it a car? You like it the way it drives? Drive it a car.
It's a beautiful car.
Oh, wait a minute. It was a Chevy power plant. It was a 327.
Oh, car guy, huh?
It is a 327. Right before I said it, Adam saved himself.
Well, yeah,
he saw the reflection in your glasses.
Well, he has beady eyes. It worked just the same. Because you can't trust his people.
Layer of tears. Yeah, Chevy small block 327 Corvette engine.
Yes. Yes, it did. Mm-hmm. And I was mixing it up with a Isso Grifo. Look up the Isso Grifo.
That was in the Westminster Kennel Club show.
The Isso Grifo.
Yeah, it's beautiful. The coat on those things. Very hypoallergenic, too, if you got kids.
I don't think I'm quite familiar with that phrase.
Another Italian car, kind of one-off-ish Italian car, the Isso Grifo. The Isso Grifo was powered by Chrysler 440, and it looked a little like the Pizzarini, but the Pizzarini had a vet engine.
The American, they got to keep on making it a car. What's so wrong with the one-off? Yeah. You don't keep on making a car when you get up. Let me tell you something about the Chevy 327. You don't need it to drive anything. Car or lawnmower. It's the carriage work that makes the difference.
Okay.
Pizzarini? You drive it now. You need to know how many were made? No.
Production
Please.
Numbers.
Get out of the show.
There it is. It's a Grifo.
I'm seeing the Isso Grifo also has the small block 327.
No.
All right.
Isso Grifo. I tell you, if Pizzarini let it come first, then no Isso Grifo.
Damn it. Wait a minute. Todd, damn it.
Oh, no.
Jensen Interceptor. God damn it. You're right. Interceptor has the 440 Chrysler in it. These have the Chevy small block. And bringing it full circle with you.
And the British, they know how to. They cannot do the sewing of the leather inside. They don't know what they do.
Just like in the first Transformers.
Oh, here we go.
The Pizzarini with the 327, the cross ram Weber injection, the same one that was so detailed when they popped the hood
on Bumblebee.
Jensen lost his juice when he lost Healy.
All right, so that's our Castrol Challenge. Well, we have a Rick James or Diana Ross competition coming up. Castrol Edge, everybody. Yeah, the Jensen Interceptor had the 440 Chrysler in it.
That's right.
Okay. I'm losing it, man. Ugh. I'm losing it. It's embarrassing. And I can imagine all the middle-aged chicks listening to the show screaming when I was talking about the Pizzarini, sure, yeah, saying it had a 440 Chrysler and not the 327 Fed
Lost
motor.
A lot of listeners there.
But if you think about it, think about this. You have this 327 VET motor, mm-hmm, that lump, it's bulletproof. Right. It's race-proven. It's bulletproof. It's not exotic. The spark plugs are $2 a piece. A distributor cap is $8. And you can plop a Holley four-barrel wet a carburetor on it. It's nothing. And so here you have this beautiful Italian exotic coachwork with this bulletproof pack your lunch, go to work every day, proven motor, and you shut the hood, and you're just driving around with a bulletproof piece of American muscle under the hood, and exotic coachwork outside. That's win-win, right?
It's a perfect. That's what we try to do. We sit around. We look at the Ferrari. We look at the Maserati. Anybody can do that. You know who can do that? Pizzarini can do that.
Giuseppe Pizzarini.
I can do that better than him. Look at that.
Beautiful car.
Pizzarini built his own car, and then he built the engine, and then went to Lamborghini and built the engines for Lamborghini back in the
day. I decided to go big, you know, and I started to do build, and then my wife would go, hey, what are you doing out there? I go, hey, it's enough. I make eight of them. That's it.
How many 53 Pizzarinis were there? You just go to Wiki. It'll like pop up. It'll just tell you the production number. I'd say like under 400, I would say, but probably more than 200. You know, once you get under like 200, you're in a really small run, and people don't realize like and then a lot of those cars are lost too. Come on, Max Bata.
My computer's freezing.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
Of course. I know.
All right. Well,
you know what? Don't freeze up a Pizzarini. Let it keep it running. We trusted the Americano.
Those beady little eyes.
You stick at the engine. It's the way we approach our movie stars. You stick an Americano engine in the middle.
Oh, like Clint Eastwood.
Yes, exactly.
Sorry.
Perfetto.
I'm seeing, what is it?
133. It's a very small 65 run.
65 to 68, I think.
All right. We'll take a quickie break. Jeff Cesario's here. What are we doing? We'll do
Chet Waterhouse.
Chet Waterhouse and more right after this.
Adam Carolla is unprepared. Hits the road again this spring.
Canuck, we get it. You're Canadian. You're playing fucking hockey, and your name is Guy Lafleur. We understand. You're fucking Canadian. We get it. You don't have to name your team Canadian.
Four chances to see Adam Carolla is unprepared this weekend at Cobb's in San Francisco. Two shows Friday night, two shows Saturday night. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com. And now, another actual five-star iTunes review of the podcast, read by Adam's buddy, Oswaldo.
I spell the Carolla all dang low E-R.
You said it, pal. Go to iTunes, rate and review the podcast, and maybe Ozzy will butcher your review, too. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, a little follow-up. Gary's provided me with... thanks to Chet Waterhouse bringing over the car and driver from February 1965. Fun little game. Also kind of interesting to figure out what the next version of this is. In the classified ads, 1961 Ferrari Berlinetta 250 GT asking $8,500. And the part that's funny about that is that's what they're asking. So, you know, some guy was like, come on, man, I can't go over $8,000. Like, that's embarrassing. Like, there's no way. Like, first off, this car's going to fall off a cliff. I'm just doing it because I like to drive. I want a convertible and my wife would never permit this or whatever. Sold, one sold, not the car, but same model sold. 2016. $17,160,000. Now, somewhere there's a guy who sold that car for $78.50.
I was happy about it at the time.
Oh, yeah, because he got it for $5,000. 1961 short chassis, Berlinetta coupe sold, well, asking $67.50. Remind you, they didn't get this much for it. One sold at auction 2016 for $9,200,000.
Good God.
The lowly Mercedes 300 SL Gullwing, the old Gullwing, 1956. In Car and Driver, in the classified ads in 1965. They wanted $5,500 for that bad boy. Now they're about 1 point. They're 1.5 to 1.8 at auction. And it just keeps going. It just keeps going from there. So
wow.
It's so weird. Like, as people have those things, they go, is that going to be a $1 million house? Or is that going to be a $1 million car? It's like, yep. It will be.
Someday.
One day. I mean, if it's the right house or the right car, yep. All right. So Chet Waterhouse is here. Max Pat is going to do the news for us a little bit later.
You can only hope the guy's wife said, you have to sell that car. So that now he can continue to grind her.
That's right. At least he has some upper hand in the situation.
Yeah. That's the only possible silver lining in that scenario.
I'm trying to think. You guys tell me, and I'm sure everyone landed on their feet who in the mid-60s had a $9,000 car. But you guys, are you with me? Like, I think if you stick around long enough and you trade out enough stuff and you buy enough stuff and you do enough deals, you're going to have some things you passed on. Like, I could have got Uber stock down back then, but I didn't jump on it. I think it was a good idea to buy Uber stock in 2011 or whatever it is. And so we have regrets. But does anybody have a thing that they own that was $8,000 and is now $16 million? Oh,
well, that's
absurd.
Not me. That's all I can say.
All right, Max Zapata, was I right about Rick James and Donna Summers?
We can. Kalen just finished his masterpiece now, so we'll put it up and we'll find out.
I'll be curious if we put this up at amcroll.com if we can figure out which is what.
That's good.
I wouldn't mind hearing MacArthur Park by Donna Summers, which I'm totally down with.
And I might be. Yeah, you can't. There's no chance.
It's the same hair, except for Rick's got a lot of shoulder. I don't know.
Wait, I'm pretty sure I know who's who.
I'm pretty sure I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
Now I'm going back.
We're looking at two pictures of two heads where the face is blurred out, and
I'm not 100% sure.
I'm not 100% sure. Do you have MacArthur Park
Incidentally, Isaac Hayes did a version of MacArthur Park.
You don't
Park.
Do Isaac. You do Isaac?
Isaac Hayes.
Oh.
That's Midwest, his name? Probably.
Oh, it is.
Now, is this Rick James?
A lot of people like to make fun of this song. I'm not one of them. I enjoy this song.
I'm going back in my earlier assessment. I think I know who's who.
You do? Yeah.
Donna Summers on the right.
Yeah. Initially, I wasn't sure.
Well, first,
I can only tell from the moisturizer on the 1 inch of forehead that's left.
The problem with our little experiment is we need a straight-on picture of Rick James without the big sort of, he's got like sort of manly shoulders in the.
That's a stone cold Steve Austin shoulder there.
Yeah, some earrings in the other one. Oh, that's not a giveaway either.
Yeah, I can see earrings on one, and I can see, you got to find a better Rick James.
Here's version number one with two other pictures.
Oh,
about this one.
Yeah, the problem is the big flappy leaf earrings is.
That's tougher though.
Actually, that's not a giveaway with Rick James.
Turn it up, man. Hear that conga?
Oh, yeah. Get the conga going, baby. That guy's just so happy to be working.
Black and white is no bueno either. We'll find a good color picture.
You were wrong about the earrings.
I was?
Yeah. On this one, this is Rick James is on the right.
Oh, he
one.
Is?
Yeah.
Jesus. I thought that was Mariah Carey on the right.
Yeah, no, this is a good one because the turtleneck will throw you off.
Oh, you're right.
You think a guy would wear the turtleneck.
All right, we'll find a color picture. We'll put it up there, and you guys at amcroll.com, you guys can vote. But I think we get the right pictures, and I think we tile it out enough. The hair ain't going to be enough.
And if I may, if you want to add a third to that, throw in Gino Vannelli into that twosome, and wow. I think
hold
you've
on. I just want you to stop. And
I think he'll do the
I'll tell you what I think about this picture.
Yeah. I just want to stop. All right, and end the song, right, Gino? No, and tell you what I feel about you, babe. I just want to stop. All right, so let's call it lunch. No. I'm still doing the song. Yeah.
The world ain't right without you, babe.
I just want to stop.
Exact same hair as both of these people.
Gino Vannelli. I feel like Gino Vannelli.
Hold on.
I just want to stop and end the goddamn recording session. He could have been Carlo Bizzarini's long-lost cousin, Carlo. Gino Vannelli.
He said my grandson is a friend. Yeah. Very, very good.
Yeah.
He's a very good.
He sings, you know, he drove, he sings popular music.
He drove an Osso Bucoro.
He drove an Osso Bucoro.
Yeah. But it had the giant Plymouth. Remember the Plymouth, the big
440.
Car? Yes, the Plymouth. The Chrysler, they put that in the Osso Bucoro.
Oh,
smelled
man.
Great inside of that car. It's so good. Oh, it smells.
So you do know Gino Vannelli.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm. He's a good little boy. I grew up in Canada. Meh. Yeah. But what are you going to do? Not too many right. Italians up there.
But he's got the hair of Rick James and Donna Summer.
Yeah, oh, he look good. He look good. He look like a papa star.
Gino Vannelli.
And you know the most important thing about a Gino?
Mm.
His brother played a keyboard for him. Not some stranger.
Right.
He keep family. It in the family.
Keep it in the family.
Family is everything.
But if Gino ever comes back into the kitchen where you're making the gravy, he's got to put a net on.
Oh, everybody wear net in my kitchen.
Yeah,
everybody wear net on the assembly line. Nobody find a hair in a pizzarini.
But Gino.
Not one hair.
Gino must have needed 5 or 6 nets.
Well, I mean, Gino, we sit him down at the table. We
oh,
let him
I see.
Tell stories about the show business and all mm-hmm. the famous people he do while we do the real cooking. He doesn't mm-hmm. get near anything.
All right, so not welcome in the kitchen.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, too much hair.
Not to get near the food.
Gino Vannelli, everybody.
Flamble.
Max Spada. Any Gino Vannelli pictures? We don't need them. I'm just curious.
Kalen's working on it.
All right.
His fingers are smoking.
All right, we'll give Kalen some time. We'll buy him some time, and we'll do a little Chet Waterhouse.
The Sports with Chet Waterhouse.
No, brother! Time for the Waterhouse update brought to you by VIP, America's most exclusive porta potty, and the Bizzarini. Never feel teeny in the Bizzarini. Golf, the Masters. Funny name for a course built on an old plantation. Tension thicker than Sia's bangs. Tiger Woods like Lazarus back from the dead. He eked out the victory like a hog squeezing through a dog door. Tiger beat none other than Italian Prime Minister Francesco Molinari. So as of this week, Tiger Woods is running Italy. Tiger's girlfriend celebrated by programming all low-end chain restaurants out of his GPS. How bad is the rest of the young stud PGA? Well, they got beat by an old divorced drug addict who's had multiple back surgeries. Next week, they plan on losing to Gary Busey. That PGA update brought to you by Ah Choo Choo, the train-shaped allergy dose pack for kids. NBA playoffs. Milwaukee clobbers Detroit. Game over quicker than Sunday Mass in Las Vegas. Houston hammers Utah so easily James Harden's beard had 7 assists. NHL playoffs. Nah, you don't really need to know anything for a couple of weeks. NFL. Robert Kraft gonna fight for those sex charges from the Orchids of Asia arrest. Hey, incidentally, Orchids of Asia, not to be confused with one of my sponsors, Our Kids of Asia, the Chinese baby stroller. That playoff update brought to you by Southern Comforter. The liquor-scented bedspread. Sweet dreams with Southern Comforter. America's pastime! Now, not taking an ancestry test and then for some reason telling everyone you did not take an ancestry test. Baseball! Don't look now. Tampa Bay and Minnesota are in first place. You know what? Look now. It's not going to last. And finally, this week in sports history, the year 1909, the place, New York, the Giants, Red Ames, throws a no-hitter for 13 innings
and somehow loses to the Dodgers. A scant 107 years later, that blueprint was followed to a T by Hillary Clinton. This Waterhouse update brought to you by the Marianas Trench Coat, featuring the deepest pockets in the business. If you want more of me this weekend, guys, I'll be hosting the new game show, Therapy Animal or Illegal Swamp Release, for the Thumb Twiddlers Network. This is Chet Waterhouse reminding you to play with pain.
Chet Waterhouse Sports.
Wow.
Wow.
One of the best 4.5 minutes in podcasting right there. Some great. Oh, man.
Good stuff. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where do you go from here?
Yeah. I think Gino Vannelli got added on there. So, but yeah, that's the right call.
The pixels are a little paler.
That's the only way to tell.
It looks like a member of Kiss.
Oh, man.
We'll work it out. With Pain, the podcast, Wednesdays on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. Eric Roberts coming up this week.
Yeah.
And live shows going to be opening for Kevin James at the Grove Anaheim. That'll be on the 26th. It'll be next Friday. And check out the website, JeffCesario.com. Find out about all the shows and tickets and information. All right, quick break, and Max Apatis covering for the news.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.